Rav Soloveitchik asks a very simple question, and it's a question we've discussed in previous shiurim on Parsha Shlach from different perspectives. But what was the job of the Meraglim? What was the purpose, ultimately, of their mission? The Rav points out that the fact that we even refer to them as Meraglim is a little bit misleading, because Moshe doesn't refer to them by that way in terms of giving them the job. And when the Torah talks about the purpose of their job, it doesn't say l'ragel in any way, shape, or form. We find the term time and time again of yasuru, right? Lasura sa'aretz. And that means to seek out, to search. What does it mean, miragel? Why do we refer to them even as miraglim? And Rav Soloveitchik said that, you know, it really is a misapplied term. We find the term miraglim. Where do we find the term miraglim in the Torah? We find the term miraglim by Yosef. By Yosef. When the brothers come down to Yosef, and he accuses them, miraglim atem, by saying that you were spies. And what does he say to them? And this will give us an insight as to what miraglim really are all about. When he says to them that lirosis ervas haaretz basem, that you've come to see the ervas haaretz. What does it mean? They came to see the ervas haaretz. They came to see the nakedness of the land. What it means is lirosis ervas haaretz basem lirosis ervas haaretz. You've come to see the vulnerable points of entry into Egypt. What are miraglim? Miraglim are military spies. That was the claim that Yosef had against the brothers. That's how he could throw them into jail, by saying that you are spies coming to have a military, you're the first wave in a military conquest, and you want to come and see Ervas Haaretz, not the goodness of the land, the bounty of the land, but the vulnerable places where an attacking force can enter into the land. What areas are not covered properly? What areas are not properly protected or heavily fortified? And so Rav Soloveitchik says, miraglim means spies of a military nature, but he says, note, that's not what we find them being referred to as in this parsha. Never do we find that that is their role in this week's parsha. We find time again, Eila Shemos Anashim Asher Shalach Moshe Lasura Sa'aret, Shalach Lucha Anashim V'yosuru, right? Time and time again. And what are they supposed to look at? Lasur V'yishlach Osam Moshe Lasura Sa'aret Kenan. Again, the Torah is telling us this word so often because the Torah is stressing. It's being madgish. It's making the point that they're only coming Lasur, Lasur, Lasur. They are not coming to Liragel. They're not coming as the first wave of a military conquest, not at all. And that's why the Torah tells us, what are they coming to see? Urisemes Haaretz, page 798 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, Urisemes Haaretz Mahi, Vesa'ama Yoshev Halea Chazaku HaRafe HaMa'atu Imrav, what the nature of the people are the land, right? Uma'aretz asher hu yoshev ba'atova hi imra, umeha arim asher yoshev behen v'hamachnim mitzarim, uma'aretz hashmeina hi imraza yish ba'etzim ayin v'schazaktem, v'lakachtem pri aretz v'yamim yimei b'kuriyanovim. And it tells us, v'yalu v'yosuru es aretz min v'artzin ad rechov levo chamas. And so Rav Soloveitchik says that these things are telling us about the nature of the land, about the nature of the people of the land. He doesn't tell them, look at what point we should go into the land, doesn't tell them which nation should we attack first, where should we... Those aren't the things that they're looking for at all. This is basically just a fact-finding mission about Eretz Yisrael. That's really what it's about. It's not about a military conquest at all. So then Rav Soloveitchik says, so then what's the next question? The first question is, what is their purpose in going into Eretz Yisrael, right? And we, Rav Soloveitchik, clearly demonstrates that it's not about spies to plan out a military action against Eretz Canaan and the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan. So the question then becomes, So why are they going? Why are they going on a fact-finding mission? Soloveitchik said, you know, there was no fact-finding mission about the desert. And in fact, that's what the Navi tells us is one of the great praises of Klal Yisrael. Zacharti lachesed nurayich, avas kulosayich, lechteich acharei bamidbar beretz lo zeruah. Right? We know one of the great praises of the Dor HaMidbar was that they went just right into the desert, that they just followed Hashem. They had great trust. So all of a sudden, here, now, what happened to that trust? Is that trust gone? There's no more trust anymore? And this brings to the broader issue we've discussed in the past. Whose idea was it to send the Meraglim? Was this, in fact, Moshe's plan? Was this Hashem's plan? And that's, you know, certainly loaded question that you can read the beginning of the parsha very carefully and then look at it again in Devarim where Moshe discusses the role of the Meraglim causing them to stay in the Midbar for so long. But Rav Soloveitchik brings down a fascinating halacha in the Gemara and Kiddushin, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. Right, the first parak of Kiddushin, I believe, is like the longest parak in all of Shas. It's 40 blot. It's a massive, massive parak. Parak Beis starts on Daf Mem Aleph, and the Gemara there has a fascinating halacha, Aser la'adam l'kadesh ad she'yirena, that it's aser for a person to get married, to be mekadesh a woman, until he sees her. And Rav Soloveitchik says, what is this halacha about? Right, we know this is the Hasidim or Makbid on this, right? That even though they have arranged marriages, yeah, they have Tanoim drawn up at very young ages, what do? The boy and girl have to meet each other. They have to meet each other. They have to see each other. And Rav Soloveitchik says that this is something that goes both ways. And he says, where do we even learn this halacha from? Where do we learn this halacha from? He says, we learn it from a place that you might think actually proves just the opposite. But he said, a careful reading of the text by Eliezer and Yitzchak, a careful reading of the text will show you that asul adam l'kadesh ishat shirena, that this is something that you're not allowed to be mekadesh a woman, right, until you see her, until you know her to a certain extent. And Rav Soloveitchik said that this is reciprocal. Where do we see it? By Eliezer and Rivka. So, Vatomer ela Eved Mia Ish Halazel Elech Basadel Krasenu. Eliezer tells Rivka who he is. Vayisaper Eved Yitzchak Es Kaladvar Masher Asa. The Eved Eliezer tells Yitzchak everything that happened, right? Tells her the miracles, the water going up to greet her. Tells everything, all the miracles. Vayivya Yitzchak Ha'oela Sara Imo. So the pasuk tells us that Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother, and then it tells us, and he took Rivka, and she was as to him as a wife. What does that mean that he brought her to the tent, and then he took her as a wife? Why does it say both? So Rav Soloveitchik explains it based upon the Bereishis Rabbah, based upon Rashi, that this was a test, that Yitzchak wanted to get to know Rivka. And when he brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother, that wasn't where Yitzchak was staying. This was the tent for Rivka to stay in. Why did he bring her to the tent of his mother, Sarah? What did he want to see? What was going to happen? What? Exactly. He wanted to see, with the miracles that happened for his mother, Sarah, were they going to happen for this woman? And why didn't he take Eliezer's word for it? We know Eliezer was Hamoshel B'chalar Shalom. Eliezer was known as the one who was in control of all of Avram's household, right? Eliezer was probably more involved in running Avram's household than Yitzchak was. You know, we have this view, Yitzchak was a little bit aloof. Yitzchak was a little bit apart. You know, he was the Ola Tamima. He was this perfect Karban. And, you know, he can't even go find his own wife. He can't leave Eretz Yisrael for a variety of reasons, but he's not going to marry her just based upon everything that Eliezer said. It could be all the miracles in the world. He says he needs to see it for himself. He needs to see who she is. And Rav Soloveitchik says, why is this? Because of what marriage is. Marriage is a fusing of an identity. Marriage is, you know, creating a shared destiny. It's a shared fate. And this isn't something that you can take someone else's word for it. This isn't something that you can delegate to another person. This has to be something you do for yourself. So come Rav Soloveitchik and explain such a beautiful idea, especially for this time of year. Rav Soloveitchik says that you know why the 12 Nesiim were sent into Eretz Yisrael? Says they were representing the totality. They weren't acting as the shluchim. They weren't acting as the messengers of the Jewish people. They were representative of the totality of the Jewish people. And why were they going into Eretz Yisrael? Because the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael are like a chasan and a kala. The Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael have a fused identity. We have a shared destiny and fate. The Jewish people are not whole unless we are in Arzeinu HaKadosha, unless we are in our holy land. And that's why we know in the very beginning of Eicha and throughout the Nevi'im, but certainly Eicha is where it's so clear and so evident and so obvious to us. How does the Sefer begin? Eicha Yashva Vadad Hayir Abasiyam Haisa Kalmana. That what happened to the city? The city is bereft, Rachmana Litzlan, like a widow, because its inhabitants have gone. It's interesting. It doesn't say the Shechina is gone. We know Kitchel Ashaita, Kitchel Asad Lava. We know that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, the Makom HaMikdash has Kedusha because of Churban Abayis, the Kedusha did not leave. Right? But we know that Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim, is like an almana. We know the famous phrase, the green line. And why do people always call it the green line? There's a whole bunch of different interpretations. But we know one of those things. And as I was driving with our good friend Ariel Kotler to Hebron, I don't know how long ago this was now, a month and a half ago, as I was driving with Ariel to Hebron, and he said, Rav, look around. He said, we're driving to Hebron. He said, their place is so lush, so green. Jewish communities. The areas that are still look like just craggy, mountainous, desert terrain, that's not where the Jews were living. There were other people living there, but not where the Jews were living. Because we know Eretz Yisrael only brings forth its peros for the Jewish people. Right? I mean, the famous, people talk about Mark Twain's reports from the Holy Land when he went to go visit Arzeinu HaKadosha at the end of the 19th century. And you read those reports and you look, you take a tour of Eretz Yisrael today. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Because v'shavu vanim l'gvulam, Jews going back to our borders, where we really belong, where we should be, is Habba HaTalia is connected to the land beginning to flourish. Right? Those are Nevi'ah, those are prophecies, and Zechariah prophecies, and Yechezkel, of these things that are happening. And Rav Soloveitchik says, that's why the Nesiim are going into Eretz Yisrael. We don't need a fact-finding mission about a desert, because we're not meant to be staying in the desert when we leave Egypt. Our fate and our destiny is not tied in to the future of the desert. But the fate of the Jewish people is tied into Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael without us is like an abandoned wife. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik says he believes Moshe Rabbeinu is sending in the 12 individuals on the fact-finding mission. It's Ki'ilu the Chosan going to meet the Kala, going to see the Kala and vice versa. And that's why he sends them. And that's why it's not about military conquest. It's not about anything of that like. But instead, what is the purpose? The purpose is basically to make acquaintance with the land. And the land can become acquainted with us. But that's why perhaps we do call them the Meraglim. We know that we've learned before in the Birkas Peretz, the Stipler Gon, Yaakov Yisrael Knievsky Zatzal pointed out that at the very beginning of the parsha, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, and we know Anoshim is a lashon of Chashuvim, that these were Chashuv people, These were their names. The Torah lists Ish Achad Lamate Avosav, Tishlachu Kol Nasi Bohem. These aren't slouches, right? Rashi says in Pasuk Gimel, Kulam Anoshim, Kol Anoshim Shem Mikra, Loshon Chashivas, Va'osa Shah, Ksherim Hayu. When they left, they were kosher, right? But what happens once they go into Eretz Yisrael? All of a sudden, somehow they lose their cheskes kashrus. Somehow they lose their actual noble intentions. And the Stipler said, where did that happen? Do you remember we learned this? The Stipler asked, when did that happen? That happened when they had a certain sense of arrogance, unfortunately. They had a certain sense of arrogance. And that arrogance of thinking they were all that, that arrogance of feeling very important, unfortunately corrupted them. And in what way did it corrupt them? Rav Baruch Simon Shlita, my Rebbe, and the Rebbe to many in this Kehillah, Rav Baruch Simon in the Sefer Imre Baruch points out that what was the root of the sin of the Meraglim? So the Stipler says it was Gaiva, arrogance. Okay, but what happened because of the arrogance? You know what the problem was? And he says this is the root of Rachmana Litzlan, the greatest sins that people get mired in Olam Hazeh, is they forgot their mission. That was the problem. Their mission was go into the land, as Rav Soloveitchik said, on this fact-finding mission, basically go make the acquaintance of the land, right? That's what the Rav was saying was the purpose. V'yasuru, lasur, over and over again. You know why we call them Meraglim? Because you know, because of their arrogance, what role they took upon themselves? To decide, whoa, can we do this or not? They decided for themselves that we are going to be what? We're going to be Meraglim. We're going to come in and decide, wait, can we go in? Can we conquer this land? Maybe we can conquer this land. They all of a sudden decided that they are going to be the ones that are going to paskin whether or not we can make it into Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps this is why we in fact do call them the Meraglim. Because they mistakenly assumed this responsibility on their own. This is why the sin of the Meraglim, really we focus on them, and that's why, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu could effectuate a certain amount of kapara for the Jewish people as a whole, for the Meraglim themselves, he couldn't, they were punished as individuals, because this was really a tremendous, tremendous arrogance that they had. And Rabbi Simon points out in Imre Baruch, he thinks that this is one of the major challenges we all have in our lives. Not to forget our tafkid. Don't forget why you're here. Don't forget your tafkid in this world. And he points out that, you know, in the Zichronos section of Rosh Hashanah, davening a Musaf, we say, Ki zecher kol ha-yitzur ba-lefanecha, ba-maise ish ufkudaso. All creatures come before you. What a person does, ufkudaso. And what his real role, what his tafkid is supposed to be, comes in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Meaning on Rosh Hashanah, you know what comes in front of Hashem? Not just your actions of what you did this past year, but what were you supposed to be doing this past year? What was the role you were supposed to be doing for me? That's what comes in front of Hashem. Because you know what standard we're judged against? The famous Hasidic Shemaisa. We're not judged against Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not judged against Yoshua. We're not judged against Rebbetzin Machlis or the Lubavitcher Rebbe or Rav Soloveitchik. Chaim Marcus is judged against Chaim Marcus every year on Rosh Hashanah. But Maisa Ish Ufkudaso. That you come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what you did, and your tafkid comes in front of Hashem. What were you supposed to do? And Rabbi Simon has such a beautiful piece. He says that's the real sin of the Meraglim. The sin was that they changed their tafkid. He says when you try and change your tafkid, it's a disaster. Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita, one of the heads of the Breslov community in Eretz Yisrael, one of the great tzaddikim of our generation, one of Gedolei HaKabbalah. So he points out in his Sefer Leket Amarim, the danger of a person trying to be someone that he or she is not. We have to know who we are. And we have to try and live up to the role of who we are. And this is something that, you know, when we talk about kinna, talk about jealousy causing rotting of the bones, right? Chazal tell us that if a person is struck with jealousy, it's a rotting of the bones. Why is that? Riku v'atzamas? Why does that cause your bones to rot? Because if your bones rot, what happens? I mean, I would imagine your bones rot. You fall apart, right? You fall to pieces. 8:15. You fall to pieces. Meaning, when you're jealous what others have, you're forgetting who you are. You're not yourself. That's why your bones are going to fall apart. You deteriorate. You're just going to collapse. You're not a person anymore, because who are you supposed to be? Your bones are supposed to be who you are, hold you up, be able to stand off straight. Zokev kifufim. You're always jealous of that one and that one and that one. Then who are you? Who are you? And that's where, and in a broader sense, of course, this is the connection between the whole beginning of the parsha and the end of the parsha. Aside from the obvious literary connection of one of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidios that we find in this week's parsha, right? The last of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidios, the six constant mitzvahs that a person could be doing at all time, every second. And we know that this is, many say this is the capstone of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidios. This is the stone that keeps all the others in place, all the other Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidios. And which is that? Lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem. Page 816 in the art scroll. V'los asuru acharei levavchem acharei neichem asher atem zunim acharim. You can't say that it's just, I mean, you can never say about the Torah it's coincidence, right? But the fact that the Torah in Pasuk Lamites uses the word v'los asuru, right? And the beginning of the Parsha, time and time and time again, was v'yosuru es eretz kinan. Right? Time and time and time again. Lasur, 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 v'yasuru. And then at the end of the parasha it says, lo sasuru. What does lo sasuru mean? Lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem means don't become distracted from your mission. That's what lo sasuru means. Don't lose focus on why we're here. Don't lose focus on what's important. And that can happen in so many ways. Obviously, we know that Chazal talk about acharei levavchem gzuntait. Acharei levavchem is that's minus. Acharei nechem is nus. Right, and Rashi says the eye sees and the heart desires and the body then sins. So obviously, in the most basic sense, the way Chazal understood the pasuk is in terms of kfira, heresy, and just physical indulgence. Why? Because there are two ways that a person can easily go off in the realm of the spiritual. You could make mistakes in the realm of the spiritual. Right, that you can think something's a mitzvah when in fact it's an avera. Right, the Mesilas Yesharim talks about this in Zahirus, that when you don't see things clearly, one of two things can happen. You can think that that what you see in front of you is a stairway, and in fact it's a cliff, Rahman Atzlan, and you can fall off, or you could just not see anything. Right, and obviously both of those things are very dangerous. And you know, in the spiritual sense, you can think something's a mitzvah when it's not, vice versa. Or a person can just totally forget about the spirit, be totally, totally drawn to the nefesh abahami, to the physical, and totally forget, totally lose sight of the spiritual world, of what we're really here. And that's what Lo Sasuru Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Neichem is always about. And that's why it's one of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidios, six constant commandments. Don't lose that perspective. Don't lose that focus. And it's in all ways. You know, when you know, the fights that you have, I'm just thinking how a group of Hasidim took out the Barclay Center to publicly in Brooklyn to publicly have a big asifa protesting the draft in Israel. Okay, what draft? Any frum person, any Hasidish guy, Haredi doesn't want. You don't have to be in the draft. The whole fight is: do you even go to the induction center to say I'm taking the yeshiva bachur exemption? It's just like, to me, it's just like so crazy. Like sometimes we really are forgotten what's the perspective that we're supposed to have. As I often say in life, people sometimes mix up ikar and tafel. The secret in life is always remembering what's ikar and what's tafel, what's primary and what's secondary. And that's what lososuru means. Lososuru means don't forget, don't be led astray. We're not here for gashmius. I've always said that the greatest challenge in America is materialism. Although in Eretz Yisrael, it's getting pretty strong as well. But, that was always our concern, coming back to America, not to lose sight, what are our real goals here in this world. And, when we talk about values, when we talk about the hierarchy of values of Avas Yisrael, right, if we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and again, we're headed towards the 3 weeks, these are the parshas, as we said on Shabbos, when unfortunately, as Rav Wolfson said, from Shavuos till Tisha B'Av, it's a little bit on a downward spiral now. Pahaloscha, Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Arna, Miriam, like not good things we read of in these weeks. So it's certainly a time to remember, when we talk about Lososuru, don't lose that perspective. What's your tafkid here? Tafkid, I could quote so many mikaros of importance of Avas Yisrael, of connecting to other Jews, but also, obviously, to remember that the ikar in life is about Ruchnius. It's about Ruchnius in all shapes or forms. And, I was just thinking the other day, the famous question of Lososuru Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Neichem, why does it say that Rashi say the ayin roa and the lev is chomed, that the eye sees and the heart desires, right? But yet it says in the pasuk first, acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. I understand, which is it? Is it first the heart, is it first the eyes? So Rav Dessler famously said, Rav Dessler had a great line, he said, what's Rav Dessler's line? That you see what your heart wants you to see. I just remember because I could be, walking down the street with one of my sons, and I've been noticing that car or that car. Abi, see, that guy's watch. Do you know how much that watch costs? I'm like, yo, I have no idea what you're talking about. But that guy was wearing a $30,000 watch. I'm like, a watch can cost $30,000? Wow. I thought a watch could cost $700. The watch can cost, Abi, you're kidding me, right? Watches can cost millions of dollars. I'm like, okay. No, the things that you notice, the things that are in your heart, are the things that you're going to see, are the things that you're going to pick up. Like, we can talk the good game, we're about ruchnius, but if you notice, there are all the fashions and the labels and this and that, so it's time to work on yourself a little bit, what's in the heart, What are the things that we're really thinking about? And I'm not saying you can't have designer clothes. Don't get me wrong. Right? Marcus says you can't. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Rav Chaim says you can't have a label on your clothes. It's not what I'm saying at all. Right? I remember those days. Once upon a time, when you worried about the Hilfiger, the this, and when guys were into these things, maybe they still are. I don't know. I'm way past these things. Right? Baruch Hashem. But acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. It's the same thing. But how do you know if you're losing your perspective? What do you notice? What are the things that you pick up when you're going around? What are the things that you see? That's an indicator, a little bit of what's in your heart. So just to remember that this is such an important parsha. And again, this is a parsha of the total loss of perspective, as we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu is recalling the sin of the Meraglim and Devarim, which we'll talk about in Devarim, I'm going to be here then. So Be'ezus Hashem, unless we're all in Eretz Yisrael, then maybe we could get shiur together in Eretz Yisrael somewhere. The week before Tisha B'Av of Shabbos Chazon, when we learned Devarim of Kibbutzinas Hashem Osanu, the ultimate loss of perspective is when the Jews were crying in their tents after the Meraglim gave their report. And what were they saying in their tents?
Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Zayin in Devarim Ki Besinas Adonai Osanu Hotzionu Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'Miseinu Bamidbar.
God hates us. That's why He took us out of Egypt to kill us in the desert. There is no greater loss of perspective than that. That's the ultimate viasuru. It's the ultimate loss of perspective of what we're supposed to be doing and what our tafkid is. And as Rabbi Simon finishes his piece in Imre Baruch talking about Maisa Ishuf Kudasa, he says that we have to daven. We have to daven for Siyata Deshmaya. We have to daven for help from Hashem to be able to maintain that perspective. Do you know there's a reason why the third paragraph of Shema has been made, the third paragraph of Shema, that twice a day we're supposed to say, V'losa surah acharei levavchem acharei nechem, we're supposed to remind ourselves of this. Twice a day at least, and it's, as we said, one of the sheish mitzvahs to midios. But Hashem should just help us that we can be able to maintain that proper perspective, we can acquire, achieve the proper perspective of what our tafkid is. And part of that is remembering what we're always supposed to be focusing on as we come to this time of year. That we're currently living in a punished place. We live in a place with great, great opportunities for ruchnius. And I disagree with those who say, oh, every gullus we say we've never had it this good. I really believe that Klal Yisrael has never had it this good in a gullus. But again, that's part of the great Nisayim. And this time of year is when we're supposed to remember to keep the perspective that we're not supposed to be here. That for all of the great things that we have here, and there's so much Torah, and there's so much chesed, and there's so much tzedaka, and there's so much good kosher food, right? So much good kosher food. Ultimately, keeping the proper perspective, as we said, Rav Soloveitchik said, the fate and destiny of the Jewish people is tied into Eretz Yisrael. They were supposed to go in to make the acquaintance with Akala, with Eretz Canaan. And that's why when we're going to read Eicha, hopefully we don't read Eicha sitting on the floor and crying. But if Rachmana Litzlan, we do read Eicha this year, to remember that Eretz Yisrael is sitting alone because we're not seeking her in the proper way. Shkoyach for coming out. Have a great week.